Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Manny Walia, Managing Director, General Counsel, and Chief Compliance Officer at Siltstone Capital. Siltstone is a Houston-based private equity fund that invests in energy and litigation finance. Their upcoming event, LitFinCon, will convene thought leaders and industry stakeholders for the inaugural Litigation Finance Conference in the Houston area. Manny, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
Yeah, it's really great to have you. I want to start with discussing Siltstone's focus areas. You know, looking over your website, you guys have a really unique set of focus areas, that being energy and litigation finance. So when at first glance, these areas, they seem like totally disparate industries, right? But there's actually some parallels here. So can you tell us more about how these two asset classes overlap and why you chose to focus on each one?
Yes, my pleasure. And thank you again for giving us this opportunity to talk to you and your listeners about our platforms and our upcoming conference, which will feature our work in the litigation finance area. Siltstone was founded nearly 10 years ago now in 2013 by a group of entrepreneurial, energy-focused investors. And they had developed, at that time, a very niche new idea about investing in minerals, which is what oil and gas developers need to produce oil and gas. And along the way, as much as our team, you know, really didn't like litigation, oftentimes as a company and a small business, you're confronted with potential corporate assets if somebody doesn't treat you the right way or in accordance with the contract. So our team, being entrepreneurial, was able to recruit folks with a very interesting set of backgrounds, not just energy sophistication on the nitty-gritty of energy assets, but a legal team that understood that there might be value in claims. And although we proceeded with honey as much as possible, sometimes you need to know what your rights are in order to maximize value for your stakeholders. So through the course of our energy work, we discovered that there may be times when we have to evaluate cases and see if there is any merit to a potential case. And that's where my addition to the team was something that sort of shaped a little bit of how we look at things. I have a litigation background, and I'm so honored to have learned how to case pick from one of the premier litigation firms in the country called Sussman Godfrey. And so when I joined the firm, that helped, that unique, you know, diverse thought process helped round out our energy team. And through the course of that, in terms of picking cases and figuring out where it is that, you know, value may be had, we had the impetus, motivation to start a litigation finance fund focused in energy because of the unique skill set that our team displayed. So these two strategies are distinct. They have different bases of stakeholders, but there's overlap in terms of, I would say, the entrepreneurialness of the team, the ability to sort of deep dive and really be a domain subject matter specialist in the area that we're researching. And of course, when we're looking at a case in our finance, litigation finance work that is that has some energy nuance to it, we have a very skilled team that knows the ins and outs of, you know, how that energy asset might work.
So great, you know, hearing that you apply this domain expertise of energy to litigation finance and saying, hey, we have this area, there's an industry we have expertise in, there are legal claims here, we can capitalize on it, we can monetize that. That's really terrific. And I think, you know, there's really a big push from the litigation funding community to get more corporations to realize that they can do this, that they can move in this direction. And obviously you bring the legal background with you. So that's really a great, really, like you said, very entrepreneurial. I love it. But let me ask from the limited partners perspective. So I want to turn over to from an investor's perspective, you know, just how the fund is structured. Are each of these asset classes siloed in a distinct fund? Is there one overarching fund that just sort of hedges across the slate of investments? How do you approach it from that perspective?
It's interesting that you note that companies are finding that sometimes they do have corporate assets. That's a big area of what we've noticed as well. And part of the reason that we developed this strategy to help folks who were in the same situation we were. I'll note that our funds are separate. So we have a set of funds that are tailored to the energy investor, and then a separate set of funds for those who might want exposure to litigation finance We're proud to have recently closed our second such litigation finance fund in December of last year, 2021. And they are separate. Some folks want a little bit of exposure in both areas, in particular because of the uniqueness of our team with the energy expertise and then focusing on finding value in some energy litigation.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then building on that, when you approach litigation finance, so there's a lot to think about, a lot to consider, obviously, just in the litigation finance space alone. What types of claims do you look for? I mean, you mentioned the energy sector, but are there any other legal sectors that you operate in? Or do you target certain jurisdictions for any reason? Are you interested in single case financing or only, or will you look at portfolio funding as well? What about like minimum and maximum sizes of claims or the quantum or anything like that? Can you give us some insight into your approach from that perspective?
Yeah, sure. I could go on. This is a really fun topic for us. First, we're really proud to have entered into a very collegial space. Most of the litigation finance brethren that we have, you know, have helped pave the way for entities like us with, you know, unearthing and starting this industry. And where we come in is we're guided by our experience. So we enjoy just being sort of laser-like focused with helping provide solutions only in the commercial context. So we haven't ventured outside into, for example, consumer finance or injury cases. And then within that commercial context, we talked about energy, which is just a reflection that it helps us diligence cases when we happen to know a lot of the nuance. And we've litigated now all sorts of energy cases, you know, in other iterations of our career, including my own. So that helps us with our diligence process as funders. We also, for the same reasons, enjoy funding patent infringement cases. Earlier in my career, I tried patent infringement cases. And by actively litigating, you know, a case or subject matter, you really develop the ability to understand what makes a case advantageous or meritorious, or what makes the case, you know, not good. So those are the two sub-focuses in our commercial lending work. We enjoy looking at single case risk or portfolio lending. I mean, overarchingly, it's very enjoyable and rewarding for us to help litigants, whether they're inventors, you know, whether they are small businesses or mid-sized businesses, get a chance to go to court and often stay in court long enough to get the, you know, truly what they deserve for their ideas or their work product.
I noticed, you know, on your website, you mentioned a focus on ESG. So this is something we've touched on a lot at Litigation Finance Journal. We just feel like, and I think a lot of people in the industry feel like there's a really interesting access to justice component of litigation finance that makes it really attractive from an ESG perspective. And I think it's even to the point now where some folks are trying to push the industry in that direction to position itself as a real ESG investment. What are your thoughts on positioning litigation finance as an ESG investment? Do you think that idea has some legs in the sort of the LP investment community?
You know, again, we're so proud to be part of this industry. It really is built on collegiality. And at the end of the day, the job of a funder is to make sure there's access to justice for somebody who thinks he or she should have a day in court. So embedded in that is sort of an inherent sort of ESG leveling the playing field type of thought process, you know, whether to sort of make it more of an investor, you know, focus. I really think the merits of it are the merits, which are if you enjoy this type of work and if you're doing it to, you know, not only meet some, you know, return of ROI, you know, level that internal teams may need, but if you're doing it to make sure folks get a chance to get to court or stay in court long enough, then there is that ESG feel. I do think that if, you know, helping the proverbial little guy or little gal or small company might be something that is ESG valuable itself. One thing that we do think is, you know, there may be space for the industry to grow more into this role. Right now, there's so much focus on or potential focus on funding cases that are seeking social justice. There may be a push to help minority-owned or female-owned law firms, and I think that's really welcome for the industry because it helps propel areas and folks that might have been overlooked previously. So I think ESG is something that most funders probably are doing, you know, inherently. And I think as we think about the growth of this industry and what makes us feel good about what we fund, there's greater space to do more in the upcoming years. I don't know. I feel like maybe we're in the third or fourth inning of this industry, so there's a lot of growth. And I think along the way of that growth, it would be nice to focus more on ESG matters. We ourselves would like to do that down the line as well.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot more conversation around it. And we're excited for that at LFJ as well. I want to shift gears and talk about LitFinCon. This is your upcoming event in March. What can you tell us about LitFinCon? What should we expect here? What are some of the topics, the highlighted issues that are going to be covered at this event that folks should be expecting?
We're so thrilled to host it and thrilled to talk about it. We hope that it will be something that folks can expect, a unique sort of, you know, Texas style, go big with some new ideas that will help us all in whatever role we have in the industry, whether you're a funder, whether you're a litigant, whether you're looking to invest in somebody who manages these types of assets. I'll note, we think we're the first such conference in the state of Texas, which is a very powerful litigation market. This conference will be in Houston at a very premier hotel, so people can enjoy Houston and enjoy the collegiality that this city has. We plan to follow so many of the great lessons that we learned from some of the industry's existing conferences and follow their lead in terms of having very substantively rich panels. What makes us different is that we wanted to sort of hearken to the diversity that this city has in terms of racial diversity, social diversity, thought process. So we are very excited to have a panel of esteemed practicing judges that will share their view from the trenches on really important hot button issues for how judges look at our industry in terms of disclosure, discovery, things that all of us sort of read about all the time. So that may be something unique that might not have been shared before. We also really want to focus on our corporate brethren. So corporate counsel, corporate executive suite folks, you know, how do they look at their claims? Is there roles for funders to help de-risk and help companies' bottom lines with working capital? And we also want to make sure that institutional investors get a chance to have a panel and talk about things from their vantage point. We think these three things in particular, the judges, the in-house folks, and the investors, might bring a little uniqueness and diversity to how folks are viewing this asset class.
Yeah, and speaking of uniqueness, so the keynote speaker is Sheng Wang, a stand-up comedian. This caught my attention because having attended a lot of these events, obviously pre-COVID, having attended these in person, you know, you're hearing from a lot of people, there's a lot of repetitiveness of just the event itself. People started to feel like maybe the topics were starting to, or just the events themselves were starting to feel a little bit dry. I heard sort of offhandedly from some folks at these events. This is a really interesting keynote. What made you decide to go with this sort of entertainment angle for a keynote speaker?
I think it's a reflection of our diverse thought process internally and a reflection of who we're bringing to the conference. We love when lawyers come to the conference, and we hope to have so many lawyers. We thought also if we have folks outside of that profession, it may be nice to have a little break from the substantive richness of the conference. Again, we've learned a lot from other conferences, and they have been so fabulously set up that we will try to have the same enriching, substantive set of panels where people are learning from each of the panels we have and sort of shifting how they do their work. And then we thought we'd just take a big break, you know, within our Texas style event with good food at this great location, and do something that would be memorable and different, allow everybody in this collegial field to really let loose and sort of enjoy something different from what was been happening the rest of the day. And as our team, you know, first started chewing on this idea, it was so different. We all were thinking about it and a little bit skeptical, but then it really won out as something that would add a refreshing take on the otherwise, you know, heavy duty information of the day. So we're going to have the panels where judges are talking about you know, stuff that's very intense and disclosure and discovery and needed for all of us. And then we'll take a big break and enjoy the fact that this is something that might be unique at the conferences in this space already.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I think if anything, it'll help spur, you know, networking and people just talking to one another about the jokes and about the comedian, and it'll just sort of help foster that vibe of, like you said, collegiality, which is so important at an event like this. I mean, a lot of people, obviously the panels are important, the discussion is important, the content is important, but just the collegiality and the networking and the relationship building is so important. And I think something like this must help with that immensely. So it really is great. It's exciting. LitFinCon is coming this March. I believe it's March 2nd and 3rd of 2022. So if you want more information, you can visit the website, www.litfincon.com. That's LITFINCON.com. And if you want more information on Siltstone, you can visit their website, siltstonecapital.com. Manny, thank you so much for appearing on the podcast today, for sharing your thoughts on your company, your really unique approach to litigation funding, and the LitFinCon event. It's really exciting stuff, and thank you for coming on here today.
It's been totally my pleasure. Thank you for making time to have us, and thank you also for your listeners to take time out of their day to listen to what we hope will be a very exciting event, and we hope they'll consider attending.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll be covering the event at LFJ, so we're excited about that, and definitely go check it out. Visit litfincon.com for more information. And thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you on the next episode of the Litigation Finance Podcast.